What's the weather there? Like 1,000 degrees?
It's cold as shit right now.
Beanie in the house cold?
Yeah.
Well, I gotta keep my man bun nice and hidden.
I'm just gonna let it out.
Hang on, I gotta crack my back. Yeah, look at you. I'm a handsome old man who can't move his back, and you're just this gorgeous little boy with little boy hair.
Hey guys, before we get started, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and X at Launchpad Pod on our website, launchpadpod.com. Check us out on YouTube. Getting a lot of watches on that RRR video. Thank you.
still,
dude, we're up to like, you know, we're in the thousands now. Over 4,000 views on our RRR video. I think we should just shift and just do Indian cinema from here on out.
Okay. Makes sense to me.
I mean, you got to get the views somewhere, right? We appreciate everybody's listening and checking us out today. You know, just chit chatting. I got some movies I watched. I'm excited to talk about. Matt, did you watch some movies before your TV broke?
Dude, my friggin' 13-year-old plasma screen is broke. Like, just one day was like, blink, blink, blink on the little power light. And I was like, Kent, what did you do? He's like, I don't know. I'm 4, and that fucker won't turn on now. And I've done hours of research, and there is. Oh, all you have to do is hold the power button for 1 minute and then plug it back in. Doesn't work. Oh, all you have to do is unplug it for an hour, hold the power button in for a minute, plug it back in, continue holding it for another minute, then unplug it. Oh, all you have to do is plug it in a different outlet. Oh, all you have to do.
That was going to be my suggestion. Did you do it? Did you do the other
hour?
Yeah,
I've done. I must have tried, no joke, 20 different variations.
Try this. Open it up and dust it out.
Well, I dusted it out where it is so far, but for sure, even if the dusting is a part of it, there was some sort of power fluctuation. From what I've found out so far, there's a power fluctuation where something in there is probably damaged now and needs to be replaced. So it's not something that I can fix currently without buying something. And the problem is, from what I've understood, there's like 3 different boards in there that it can be. 2 of them seem cheaper and 1 of them seems more expensive.
Bro.
And this is antiquated technology.
Bro, have you been to a Costco lately? A TV twice that size is like $400.
I feel like all of you fucking people, all of my friends, you're like the 8th person I've said this to, and you all are plugging Costco. Like, do you all get a cut or something if I go to Costco?
Yes, that's why we're all plugging so hard. It's that Costco alien cult. I get $1.50 hot dog if you buy them. And I get free kimchi every time I go. There's like people who are like, Aaron, welcome here. Would you like some kimchi? How about a piece of cheese? How about a half-cooked muffin? And I'm like, thank you. I'm going to eat all this and then go get a $1.50 hot dog. And there. And I wonder why I'm always like, come home like, oh, I don't know why I want dinner. Oh, I can't. I'm so full. What did I eat? I only had a hot dog today. It's like, yeah. And then like 9 free samples. Ooh, this cheese is good. I'm going back for seconds. And the whole time they're doing that throughout the entire store, they're like, pimp us to your friends. Pimp us to your friends.
Look how cheap those TVs are, bro. You got to know somebody.
Yeah, I'm dead serious. You, enough people have told you, you must have connections to somebody who has a Costco account. You can go.
Oh, we have a Costco account. I
you
just
have
part
one?
Of me. Yeah. Part of me wants to like tame the beast, like master this TV, open it up, diagnose what's wrong electronically.
Bro, you need a new dog. That's what you need. You do not need to, like, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to tame that beast, and then you're going to, like, go to Costco and be like, damn, that OLED is real nice. And here I am with this old piece of shit. Yeah, I fixed it, but why? Like whenever I, like, would go and spend the time to fix my POS, like, rent-a-wreck that I had for a minute, and then you're like, oh, man. I am man. I did it. I fixed car. And then I'm like, but why? Why am I pumping money into a money pit that isn't worth anything?
Well, that's
anything?
The thing is, I don't think, at least not at the beginning, I don't think this would be a money pump. It would be a time pump, which I thought Amanda was going to shoot down. I was like, listen, this thing is a 50-inch screen, something like the 50 or 70-inch screen. If I take it off the wall, She's like, why do you have to take it off the wall? I was like, to open it. She's like, why can't I open it where it is? And I was like, it's attached to the wall. How am I going to open the TV? And then she's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So I was like, I have to lay it or stand it somewhere in the house. And there's a good chance it's going to take me hours, if not a day or two, just to figure out what's happening before I order a part. I thought she was going to be like, no. She's like, well, we watch a lot of TV and it might be worth it for us not to have TV for a week or two. And I totally thought she was going to be like, oh, no. And then I was like, well, the decision has been made. I got to do it. I got to bite the bullet and buy a new TV.
How much is this chip?
That's the thing, is it seems like it could be anywhere, depending on where the problem is. It could be anywhere from like $60 to $600. So it just depends on which of these boards is broken.
Bro, I cannot wait for you to get that OLED TV. OLED. I pronounced it wrong. Still singing the song. It's going to be so good. You're going to be like, oh, why did we wait so long? Look at the clarity. 4K to work with my 4K PS5. Hell yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. You're probably right.
See, you haven't seen Blu-rays yet, dude. You've never seen a Blu-ray.
I remember when I got my first Blu-ray and I was like, wow.
You've never seen a Blu-ray until you've seen it in like true definition.
It's see through Luke Skywalker's skin. Yeah. I can see every pixel in King Kong.
So you're going to Costco next week. You pick
weekend, then maybe that's the way to do it.
Yeah, no, I've convinced you. I'm going to tell myself I convinced you. If not, I need you to film your adventure of fucking this TV up.
Well, I figured it's already fucked, so I can't fuck it harder. You know what I mean? Like, it's
oh, famous last dude words.
Well, because it's already broken. Like, if I can't break it more, I'm not going to bring it in to get fixed.
Time I said that, I still had 10 toes. So shut up. Couldn't get any worse.
Well, Mike, if I break it worse, it's already not working. So, and I've already exhausted all the easy fix options, the plugging it in and all that shit. This TV has a lot, like a shelf life, or what would you call it? An active lifespan of 5 to 7 years. I bought it in 2011. So we're on like 13 years now, which is almost double its life. It is more than double its life expectancy. So like, okay, if I have to bite the bullet and buy a new TV, it doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, well, I mean,
well, it bothers me whatever money it'll cost, but I do kind of like, or maybe I'll buy the TV and then fix that one.
And then you have two TVs in your bedroom.
No, I mean like while I'm waiting to fix it.
In your garage.
There's already so much shit in there. I need another house. That's what I need. I already have a pile of electronics and appliances I need to fix in there.
Guess what they sell at Costco, dog?
They sell houses there? Could you buy a two-pack and we could be neighbors?
You can buy houses. You can buy coffins. You can buy $1.50 hot dog, munching that shit down, buying a house, buying a coffin.
Does Costco give you a bigger percentage if more people buy hot dogs? Because you're really pushing the hot dogs.
Because they're delicious.
Yeah, you love them.
Anyway, let's get on with the show.
Yeah, everyone's like, what is this episode about?
Definitely not sponsored by Costco. We're getting a cease and desist right the fuck now. Like, you, sir, you are way too enthusiastic about this hot dog thing. Let it go.
Panasonic's going to donate me a TV just to get you to stop fucking talking about it.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff. All right. Welcome to Launchpad Podcast. I'm Aaron.
Matt.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get Matt to buy a new TV. We had some things to talk about, but I'm just going to try and push you to like, get your phone out. Get your phone out right now. Download this app. I'm going to shoot it to you right now. It's Costco.com. Get your card out. Let's do this. Can you imagine if I got you to buy a TV on air? That'd be pretty sweet. It'd be good content.
for who? Like, whose show is that that they're listening to? And they're like, oh my God, he did it. He did it. Like, our listeners are texting each other. Oh man, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? Will he go with the 60 inch or the 50 inch? Oh,
it's good for me. That's the only people.
When you visit, you can use it.
No, I just see, just as you want to tame the beast, I just want to get you to buy a TV.
You're on the line with Costco right now. You're like, I think I got him. I think he's good. Yeah.
He's going to do it.
He's texting Costco under the Zoom camera so I can't see.
I think I got him, guys. Pack it up. Put it in the truck. Pre-delivery?
Costco John is like, push for a 70-inch.
Free delivery, and you'll take away
warranty,
the old 10-year one?
10-year warranty. Push that warranty.
Okay. He says they'll take away the old one if you buy today.
They're gonna need a truck for the old one. The old one's pretty big,
dude, and they're so heavy. Those old ones, man, they're heavy.
It's a plasma. I didn't realize that plasmas were completely outdated now, and that they don't sell them anymore. I assumed
90% of what you own is outdated.
Still, dude. So we went to Pasadena Comic Con the other day. Very small comic convention. I brought Kent. It was his first comic convention.
Aww.
I went with Aaron and Wyatt, who came to Big Comic Con with us.
Shout out
to Aaron and Wyatt.
Heck yeah.
And we went to this Pasadena Con with them and Wyatt's cousin, who's also 12-year-old okay. boys. I told them the story of me and you getting your shit robbed from your car and having that whole fiasco with that shit. But the story opens with, so someone broke into my roommate's car and stole his iPad and CDs. And I said, I will explain to you guys what CDs are in a minute.
iPod.
Yeah. And Wyatt's cousin, who's 12, goes, he didn't even mention the CDs. He goes, an iPod? Like the antique? And I was like, antique? We're already, and I was like, wait, but you heard that I mentioned physical media of CDs, right? That you didn't even respond to that. He probably didn't know what a CD was.
He's like, you mean the cash?
Cash on delivery, yeah.
That, the investment properties that make your portfolio look okay.
Yeah, that's you mean the antiques? No, dude. I mean, they're only like 15 years old, right? Like iPods are still a thing, right?
Dude, somebody on today was like, anybody in my feed on Instagram, they're like, have you watched a DVD or a Blu-ray in the past year? 60% said no. And my heart broke.
I watched a DVD today.
I put in a Blu-ray twice this week, multiple times. I have box sets. I bought physical media this week. I watched a VHS this year. He was just like, yeah, everybody just goes streaming now. It's like, no. No, it's just RIP, Best Buy, last Blu-rays, done this month, over.
There's still going to be forever. There's going to be shit that always was on one media, but never next, right?
Makes another one. And
yeah,
we're not talking small numbers here. I recently was doing research on this very, very thing. When VHS jumped to DVD, there's over 10,000 titles that never made the jump. Now, granted, 9,000 of those titles do not need to make the jump.
Even you and I don't need.
No, but that's crazy to me. That's history, even bad and stupid and dumb media history. It's still being lost.
Well, I guess, yeah, it's almost like if you think about the written word, right, like the Bible and historical records, once we create a new thing that's better than pencil and paper, we rewrote them. And a lot of that shit has been digitized. A lot of that shit has been recorded in another medium. We're saying, here's a movie or a piece of media that existed, and after this iteration, we're not updating it anymore, which is kind of crazy. You think there'd be like a film institute to preserve that in some way, shape, or form, right?
They have deemed Nuki unworthy.
Yeah, like I'm thinking they were like, Freeway Maniac? No, that's anyone who watches that needs a VCR.
Yeah.
And that's probably for the better of mankind.
Quad head zone? Nah, yeah. We don't need it. Sorry, guys. Quad head zone, not going to make it. But Contagion 7? Hop on in. Let's get you in a DVD right quick. Like, that's the thing that just kills me is who gets to decide this. But, like, one of the scariest things ever is it's like a man dies twice. A person dies twice. A person dies twice. Once when their physical body dies and second when their name is spoken the last time. And that gives me the fucking chills. That's terrifying to me that when you say something, that could be the last time it's ever spoken. And that movies, when you look at a VHS that isn't making the jump, you're like, this is it, bro. I'm not bringing you on the arc. Like, but those two zebras got a platypus? That thing doesn't even know what it is. It's a duck and a beaver.
You're like, and Mariah Carey's glitter is on Blu-ray.
They're like, you put that on the arc, but you're not letting little Nuki on. Like, nah, dude, you sucked. And he's like, I know, but longevity, you know, come on, it's just a movie. I don't know. I don't know why I care about it so much because in theory, when somebody like brings
up, love Mariah Carey's glitter. To be fair, I don't know if Mariah Carey is, I mean, if glitter is Mariah Carey or Britney Spears or someone, but you get my joke.
I do get your joke. I don't know. The thing
is, imported to Blu-ray, so I don't know who is in it.
Like, people bring up specific movies and you're like, yeah, I don't really care about that one specifically, but just the concept, like
someone might. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. It's super weird. But yeah, that is the case. So there they are, you know.
I wonder, I bet you know who probably figures it out? That one last Blockbuster left in the world, the Blockbuster that's left. There's probably like some midnight mass fraternity shit that happens. You know, at the stroke of midnight, there's a bunch of people in Blockbuster robes that come in and there's a gong.
Boom.
Boom. Brothers, today we are here to talk about Neon Maniacs. Does Neon Maniacs need?
I mean, I'm going to steal that idea and make it into a movie. So that's great. Yes.
That would be awesome. And then there has to be a sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
You have to sacrifice one virgin, but it's not like a hot virgin. It's like a nerd who has the t-shirt on, you know?
Oh my God. They line them all up and they all have like vintage t-shirts of the movie. And oh God, please don't pick
for the cause.
Please don't pick Neon Maniacs. Oh Lord. Oh no. Oh God.
Oh, I like it. So there's like six dweebs in vintage t-shirts of the movies that they are voting in or out of the night.
And if it gets outed, one of the other ones gets killed. And then somebody runs in and says, guys, Arrow has a special edition of Neon Maniacs. It's got 4K restoration and special features. Oh, thank God. I
That means a nerd already died for that.
Well, one of the other nerds.
Jaggly jag dagger that's like squiggly dagger. They already plunged that into some 40-year-old virgin's heart. And then the cycle continues. Oh, that's how it continues. Then that guy's mom, whose basement he was living in, donates those tapes, those VHS that he owned to that Blockbuster. And the Blockbuster rents out the ones that are commercialized, but the ones that are like cult favorites, those ones get voted in or out the next couple weeks.
Oh, God, I wish I had backed up the keep twice. Like, I mean, there really are like a bunch of these that didn't make it, but some of them I had to look it up. Now, some of them, understandably so, Song of the South, I don't really need a special edition 4K of. But yeah, man, physical media, sad.
Can I use this as a segue? Please, I got a segue for us.
Oh, I love it when you call out a good segue.
Yeah, I know. I want that credit. Arrow just released a double disc, really nice edition of a lot of special features and shit in a really nice case of my favorite and yours, The Warriors.
Hell yeah, I did see
and
that.
And I found it by accident. Like, that's, you know, like, you know, the things you like, you usually they're on your radar to a certain extent.
No, nothing's on my radar anymore. Even shit that I'm like, I love that. How did it not?
I got my radar up for the most part, but there is so much that I miss.
Yeah.
This is something I missed. I was actually doing one of those things. Remember Amazon used to have to get over $25 for free shipping? So you'd be like, all right, what else is $4.50 that I can add to my cart?
You mean the antique?
I was doing something like that where I was on an eBay site and I was looking at, like, this guy had a sale. If you buy three DVDs, you know, you get an extra whatever, 30% off. And like, I clicked on his see a seller's other items. And the first thing up was a Warriors Blu-ray on Arrow. And I was like, what? And then I researched it real quick. I was like, holy fuck, that's a really nice addition. And you know, Rumi knows for sure. And I think our listeners know, I love that movie. I don't know if I Predator love it and I will buy every single edition of it, but pretty damn close. And this one had a bunch of new stuff. And it was, you know, $28 for Arrow Blu-ray of a movie that I love. I was like, hell yeah. And I bought it while Cousin Paul was here. Cousin Paul, shout out to Cousin Paul, who had never seen it. And man, he was on the Warriors bandwagon with me. We didn't fight on the floor, which me and Aaron Rumi have done after watching that movie.
Well,
he literally roll around wrestle.
He chose to be on the bandwagon of, yeah, Warriors. And I'm on the boo to that movie.
I don't get it.
I get it. It's just bad. That's not a bad thing. It's fine. But
me and you now in that last Blockbuster at midnight, the stroke of midnight, I got my Warrior shirt on. You're wearing fucking Nuki or whatever you have on. And we're arguing about it. And we both get kicked out, eliminating the possibility of either of our movies getting immortalized on the next physical media.
No, I choose to be on the wrong side of Warriors. It's probably better than I'm ever going to give it credit for. But just because
you said before that you understand how cool and great it is, you just don't particularly like it, and you can shoot holes through that from your point of view, which makes sense.
The concept's great. Hell yeah. These guys are trapped and they have to get back to Coney Island. Cool. There's all these badass gangs in their way who are hunting them all the way there. Cool. This is the same plot used in one of my favorite animes, Afro Samurai. Frickin' rad. Here for that. Okay, great setup. Can you dig it? I'm on board. He gets assassinated. Oh, they got to get back. Who's in their way? Clown makeup, baseball swing bat swinging idiots who can't fight. Oh, then they're in a bathroom and dudes on roller skates who can't.
One dude has roller skates.
It's a whole crew of idiots on roller skates. They can't.
No, one idiot has roller skates. They all have overalls on.
Well, they can't fight still. And they get their asses kicked.
They can't fight. They're all awesome fighters, except the Warriors are that much badass.
No,
than everybody.
No. You are repeating what they say, not what you see. What you see is
three Warriors take on 7 baseball bat wielding guys
in a weak ass, poorly choreographed, shitty fights. Weak sauce. It's all weak sauce. Then they
I don't think
seduced.
You've been in enough baseball bat fights.
They've been seduced by a group of women who they think they're going to get lucky. Oh, what's your gang name? We're the Lizzies. First of all, Come on. You're not getting laid and they're going to kill you and betray you. Look, it just was constantly building up and then not paying off on the build up. They don't get laid. The fights are weak. They get back to Coney Island. The dude clinks the bottles and goes, Warriors. And then you get my last moment where I go, he said the thing. Cool. And that's kind of it.
No, then they go out to the sand and the guy pulls a gun on him and is about to shoot him point blank. He dodges the bullet while throwing a switchblade into the gunman's hand. Baller from like 2 feet away.
Okay. By that point, I'm already
haters
over it.
Gonna hate. Mean,
haters gonna hate. See? So let's watch the Warriors. I'll find it somewhere.
I love that shit. I love it so much. But anyway, I just watched it and we're talking about physical media. I feel like we've talked about the Warriors at length, and that could be an episode we could do. I still love it. I think it is the most badass. Like, to me, I would put that on a list of movies I would watch before going and playing laser tag or a Nerf gun fight or something like that. I needed to get riled up for my version of sports.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I would do that before a Nerf gun fight. Let's do it. I'd watch.
I think it's baller.
I'd watch Crank. Hell yeah, Crank.
Oh, Crank. Well, I mean, like, my go-to was always John Wick before a Nerf gun fight or a laser tag or something.
There's an episode, pump up movies.
Oh, yeah. I have a couple for that.
Yeah, movies that you got to watch if you want to get ramped up. Yeah.
But no, I love Warriors. I love everything about it. I really do like it. And I actually, it's on my list of, I watched it with Paul, the movie with Paul the other day. It comes with both versions. There was a re-release in the 2000s, early 2000s that had this like faux futuristic comic book nonsense in it that's not nearly as good, but it also has the original theatrical and it has a ton of special features.
What was the comic book? It was like Transitions, right?
Yeah, it was Transitions, and the idea was never stated in the original theatrical release, but the idea was that this was in the near future. This wasn't a now story. It happens in the near future where these gangs are like the norm, but they never say that. You just start watching the movie and you're like, this is late 70s New York.
I gleaned that from watching the movie, though. That's like when you watch Roadhouse and you're like, oh, they're in a world where bouncers are fucking famous. Like,
right, right.
Like, obviously.
That's just getting remade. Did you see that?
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm down for a remake and I'm down for anything Jake Gyllenhaal does. So already I'm going, and I love Roadhouse. So I'm going into that movie. I'm going into that remake three steps. Like, they've already given them 3 points, which could be a high fall if they screw it up.
That's what I'm saying. You're in for a high fall. That's why you should just, I get it. But I mean, like, there's a lot of movies, like The Last Dragon. Here's a world where everybody loves kung fu movies, especially Bruce Lee. And nobody blinks if you're that into it. And it's like,
yeah, fuck yeah.
Okay.
Show enough.
Oh, I love that.
Who, me and my best friend Joey Dunn used to call Show Yum.
I watched.
We played that in the basement. Like, we would play that, like, play act that.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that. I just watched a movie that while watching it, Kate and I were like, this is like The Last Dragon in many respects.
Was it called Second to Last Dragon? Because I think that was the prequel.
No,
it was, I'm a dad.
It was seconds of The Last Dragon. It was the leftovers you put in the microwave and they just don't taste quite as good. I know that didn't make any sense. That was a bad joke. We still laugh.
That's one of those jokes though, that you start laughing because like it's close enough, but then your brain starts to be like mid laugh. You're like, well, wait, seconds are a second helping. That's not leftovers. He meant leftovers of The Last Dragon.
Okay.
But that doesn't
seconds
make sense.
Of The Last Dragon where I have diarrhea later.
Did you ever see the super rapey, creepy version where it's like a home invasion one? It's called Last House on the Dragon. Last House on the Left Dragon. Last Dragon on the Left. Last Dragon on the Left. That's
Last
what I should
Dragon
have said.
On the Left. There you go.
That's what I should have said.
Really? Ooh, real rough. Oh,
someone right now is taking off their headphones and leaning over to the person next to me like, they started talking about buying a TV and now they're like doing multiple attempts at the same joke, which wasn't funny to begin with.
None of them were working. All right. This movie that we watched was called The Giver from 1991, directed by
Mark Hamill?
Yes.
Steve Wang?
Steve Wang and Screaming Mad George. Brian,
I haven't seen that movie in since the 90s.
Dude, so we watched it. It is on the level with The Last Dragon in its cheese. It is cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
I found it endearing.
Yeah.
There's some great suit work. It's very tokusatsu Power Rangers in its acting. Like, everybody who's fighting is like, yeah, yeah. Get him. While the two guys in the middle are fighting. The suit work is the most impressive part. There's some pretty cool body horror. Mark Hamill turns into a bug. He's not really the star, but he's also the star. Cause I think the movie's even like, guys, Luke Skywalker is right over here. And you're like, yeah, but your main character is this guy. And they're like, don't give a shit.
Yeah. But if our main character doesn't have the force.
Yeah. Right. Some of the transformations and like, it's super low budget. So like, when he transforms into the Giver, the suit grows out of him. They have to do some pretty creative things to show that. And I was impressed with that, how they pulled it off. I mean, it's low budge, but yeah, you did it. I worked for Steve Wang for a while, so it was really fun to like see some of the people that you recognize from his crew who are in the movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know that guy. That's Johnny Psycho.
Johnny Psycho is the best example.
You know that guy. Yeah. And there's a lot of that guys in it and it's super fun. Also like a reunion of Reanimator. You got Jeffrey Combs and the guy whose head gets chopped off in Reanimator. they're on the same team now.
Same world.
Same
did
world.
You watch this on Blu-ray on 4K?
I did not. I don't know if it's on physical media.
Did you watch it on streaming or like illegal?
I told you not to ask me, Matt.
Just knock. Knock on the table if it's illegal. He's knocking. He's knocking.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's a good movie.
I want to watch it. I want to. I've been meaning to watch it, but I've never found it streaming or otherwise. And I'm like, eh, I don't want to buy it.
It's worth it. Oh, it's good. It'd be good for Sunday.
I remember watching it as a kid. I rented a lot. Did you rent a lot as a kid?
Every Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Two.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
And I remember a lot of times where like, for whatever the reason, it was just me and my dad. Like my family and I, we were all movie people. We watched a lot of movies. Like you said, almost every weekend we'd watch a movie, either go to a movie or rent something. But like, I also remember multiple times renting like terrible 90s straight to video Rutger Hauer DNA monster movies. And me and my dad watching them in like what I whatever time I considered late, you know, 8:30 or whatever. And I thought that was cool. I remember watching a lot of that shit with my dad. Guyver and Guyver 2, because there was a sequel. And
I'm going to watch the sequel soon. Yeah,
there are more monsters on the cover of that one. I remember that. Like, I remember, I don't even remember all of the ins and outs of all the movies, but I do remember that time, you know, and I specifically remember Guyver because I was like, holy shit, that's Luke Skywalker in little kid language. So
holy poop, it's Luke Skywalker.
Actually, I've gotten a better mouth as I've grown on. It was probably like, fucking shit, Dad.
Holy fuck, nutballs. Look at that. It's that nerd Luke Skywalker. What a fucking douche.
All right. Another good transition. Okay. That guy just took his headphones off Leonardo DiCaprio and he's like, now they're announcing transition still. 32 minutes in and they really haven't even gotten to the crux of the episode. So Guyver, I didn't realize it at the time, but it's based on an anime and a manga, right?
Yeah.
Kent has found a show on Netflix, I guess, that's called Mini Force Super Dino Power. Okay, that's the name of the show. It is, you know, the South Park episode about anime where they like lean into all the anime tropes and poke fun at anime.
Oh, this is like, it's incredible.
This is like that, but for kind of more like,
hey, let's go protect my boss.
Yeah. This is like a, what's it called? Tokusatsu. This is like a tokusatsu version of that, but it's not funny. There's these robots and they're fighting. And if you walk by, it sounds like they're fucking like it sounds. It's all and it's guys and girls, all different stuff. Then you walk in, you're like, what the fuck are you watching? And it's a giant soda can. And I mean, like, literally that with sunglasses on. He's got soda can legs and arms with like robot hands that shoot and two straws coming out of his head, which is like the pop top of the soda. And he's called the No Fizz Soda Monster. And he's trying to fight these guys who are riding like almost like mini Zords. And the guys are people size. Now, pause, because a minute ago, there were these cute little like chibi creatures like a skunk, a squirrel or something else. And like the skunk farts all over the place. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And I can see why he's watching it. And I'm like, well, who are these people? Come to find out, I have not yet seen the transition, but Kent explained it to me as well as he could, that those little creatures somehow morph into these Power Ranger looking humans, like the little creatures. And I'm showing with my hands on YouTube. It's like a penguin and it's like penguin size and a little.
Yes.
It's like a peg. It's shaped like a tiny peg.
And they are little cutesy cartoon creatures that when
are shaped like little cartoons,
when sitting in the back seat of the car, are stuffed animal sized.
Right.
Yes.
And then when they turn into these, I don't know, Power Ranger guys, they look like Power Rangers. They're skinny, tall, humanoid, and they all have like human proportions and they're tall. And then they ride like one has a Stegosaurus, one has a Triceratops, one has a Pterodactyl, and they're like these robot Zords. And you're like, okay, I got it. And in the, to be fair, I have only seen pieces of a couple episodes, but in every episode I see, they fight the bad guy and true to Power Ranger form, that bad guy gets giant at some point. And then the little Zords they have are not, the little Zords are like the size of like a big pickup truck or a, not a monster truck, but those those hyped trucks that you'll see on the street that they're almost a monster truck, but they're obnoxiously big. That's how big these Zords look. Then they go, oh, we need to call such and such power. And when they say that, it cuts to the desert somewhere. And they're always, the ones that I've seen, they're always fighting in a city, an urban environment.
It's hilarious. As I'm scrolling through Google Images, things you say that 2 seconds ago, I was like, what the fuck is that? And then you say in the desert somewhere. I'm like, well, here's the desert.
There's that. If you guys want to play this game again, it's called Mini Force Super Dino Power. So that's you, Google. They'll say, let's summon the such and such, such and such. And it's some cool Zordzoid floor light laser name. And there's a giant Brontosaurus looking purple blue robot long neck.
Yeah.
And it's rolling through the desert. And when they summon that, you're like, oh, this thing's going to show up. No, this thing transforms into an elevator and a ramp. And whatever thing they just thing or things, I've seen it be one thing or two, rolls or flies out of this rolling dinosaur ramp contraption. And then when that stuff, like the one that I just watched recently with him, it was that let's summon this thing. A race car came out and a pterodactyl lion came out, and they both came out separate vehicles that then in like a, you know, a flashy cutscene up in the air combined together Voltron style to make a Gundam looking robot that you're assuming is going to be the same size as the bad guy. He essentially just appears in the city. It is unclear in the narrative of the storytelling if he teleported there, if he ran there, if he flew there.
No,
it doesn't matter.
It's an editing convention, because back in the day when Power Rangers did it, they were just re-editing shit from older shows together.
Sure, so
they would,
sure.
They would show footage from a completely different television series from a completely different decade, and then just cut to the city and be like, here's your monster.
The problem is that there was no the old episodes of Mini Force Super Dino Power were never ported from VHS. So they had, so they don't have those cutscenes anymore. So now you have this robot that we just saw assembled, right? He is now in the city fighting this giant can of soda.
All the bad guys seem to be odd, mundane objects. I see.
Yes,
toilet,
and I'll get to that in a second.
A toilet with four arms. Yeah. Here's a pink bowl of ice cream.
I saw him fight three ice cream cones that were all like, let's say, Sasquatch sized. And then they assembled to somehow become Mecha Godzilla size. And it was one giant cone with three giant scoops.
How bad is this show?
Wait. And here's the part that I'm not understanding the most. For some reason, this is the part that fucks with me the most. This Gundam that just got assembled and we watched him. The Gundam is made out of a car and a pterodactyl lion. He shows up in the city to face off against the soda can monster.
Right.
And he doesn't look any different than he did in the desert. But you will see the Power Ranger-esque guys, the humanoid people, talking, and sometimes in a split screen that shows however many of them were involved in the pre-fight, similar to how a Voltron would be. But Voltron people were inside that robot. This robot is the same robot that assembled itself in the desert and somehow made it to the city by itself. If these people are in there, their mini Zords are now gone. They're not part of the robot that is in the city now, and they're not standing by. So I don't know what happened. Like, it's almost like if Voltron itself was a separate robot.
Completely different robot.
Yeah. And when the Voltron came there, all of those people jumped out of their lions and got in Voltron, but like parked their lions somewhere else, or they like explode by themselves when they're empty, like in Star Wars Battlefront or something. Because then there's just this robot, and then the robot will fight the giant monster, beat it, and there's some sort of like evil bad guy in a castle somewhere who sends a giant ray to make the soda can monster giant or whatever. And then there's no other thing. You don't see him do anything else. The giant robot will vanquish the giant creature. The giant creature will dissolve back down into whatever it originally was. In this case, a can of soda. Multiple little pink balls of like orb or energy pop up and out and then dissolve into the ground. I don't know what that's about because I've not seen a monster created yet. I've only seen them destroyed. That happens and it cuts to credits. There is absolutely no resolution. There is no end scene. You don't see how the bad guy feels about it. You don't see how the good guy feels about it. That is it.
Why are you letting your kid watch this garbage?
It gets worse or better.
Oh, no.
I saw in the intro, there's a room full of skunks and they all fart at the same time.
There's a lot of farting. I'm seeing tons of farting imagery.
So me and Kent are on board for that. I didn't know that that was the same show at first as the dinosaur robots, because they have literally nothing to do with each other. It's almost all of those Asian anime manga tropes of it's all these random noises when they're fighting and stuff. The one that I just saw was the giant soda can. Okay, it looks like, and every fight scene, pick any 3 seconds of a fight scene and it looks like a Kool-Aid commercial, you know, Kool-Aid coming in to vanquish the thirst monster. Okay. You know, it's like Crest coming in to vanquish the teeth. Oh, that was another one we saw, was a toothpaste supervillain, a supervillain made of an evil tube of toothpaste, has these chatterbox teeth. And he goes, now we will destroy everyone who doesn't brush their teeth. And every person, every single person, man, woman, and child on the street who heard him say that ran away in fear. I brush my teeth at least once, if not twice a day. Why are you running? You all didn't brush your teeth. So now we have, it just looks like it's a commercial. Crest will vanquish the toothpaste monster. Chomp, chomp, chomp. You can't stop me. Crest. Ah, that's the end of it. Now we're showing the product. That's what all of these monsters look like. Today was the first time I sat down with Kent and I actually watched them vanquish the soda can monster. The soda can monster's problem was when he ran out of fizz, okay, didn't have power anymore. So he was a Sasquatch size empty can of soda. His sunglasses fall off and it showed vulnerable, sad looking eyes. And he's trying to shoot his fizz beams at him and he can't. And he's like, I got no fizz left. I can't fight now. And as the Power Rangers around him, the Super Dino Force, Mega Force, whatever the fuck Rangers, as they understand that he can't fight because of he doesn't have fizz anymore, he is a flat soda. That's what they're calling him, a flat soda monster. The flat soda monster starts crying and runs away, gets hit by a car. Okay. When he gets hit by a car, the entire image cuts to a light blue background with a bunch of bubbles, and the bubbles go and they start to multiply. Then he's rolling down the street because he got hit by a car. And as he's rolling down the street, he bumps into a parked car, knocks it over. Cut to that cutscene of more fizz. Now, I'm 41 years old, so I understood what was happening. But what a weird fucking convention to have. He bumps and crashes into a couple more things before he gets up. And as he gets up, all the Power Rangers on the dinosaurs come over and there's a bunch of random pedestrians around. They go, don't worry, everyone. He's just a flat soda can monster. He won't hurt you. And then he goes, I got my fizz back. And out of nowhere, these sunglasses pop up from the ground and land on his face. And he starts fizzing everybody. Now, when he's fizzing everybody, I don't know if you remember, but at the top of this creature description, I said the empty soda can has two straws that are coming out of his pop top.
Yeah.
Both of those start shooting. I'm going to say they were going for Sprite, but it looked like a exclusive male bodily fluid. And it went like out of his little.
I thought we were going to have one episode where we didn't come back to Saltburn, man. I thought we were going to get away from Saltburn. This was going to be the episode in 2024 where we didn't talk about Saltburn somehow.
It shoots out of the top of his straws.
I got to be honest, dude. I got to be honest.
Wait.
No,
wait.
I got to be honest. I've stopped listening. I'm just watching it now.
He fights them. He shoots like, and it just, the soda just kind of dissolves in the air. It's supposed to show that he's powerful again. Yeah. And then he's got these arm beams that he's shooting at them. Later, he runs out of fizz again, but he figures out what's happened and shakes himself up.
Yeah.
When he shakes himself up that second time, it cuts to another wide.
Yeah.
And the straws shoot the soda, quote unquote soda, and I mean everywhere. And you see it land, which you didn't see before.
Like, so now why does it have to have area contact? Why does it need to be gloopy? Why is there a thickness to it?
Why do we need, we see it glue, it goes onto the street and some parked cars and stuff, but like literally before I was there, and that's what clenched it for me.
The human beings in this are worse than the little creatures are fine. Like, okay, they're a little cartoon. The human beings are nightmares. These are not, this isn't what humans look like.
I was not going to mention it. I'm watching this with Kent and I was like, should I talk about this on the show tonight? And I was like, I saw the first cum, like the pre-cum, I guess, come out. And I was like, gross. Maybe I will talk about it. And 2 minutes later, it was like, blah. I was like, oh, I got to talk about this bukkake diet. What is it? It's a Mini Force Super Dino Bukkake.
Power. Dude, this thing is. No, see, this is the type of show that my mom would come down and be like, what are you watching? I'd be like, nothing, because I knew she wouldn't like it. And then she'd watch for 5 minutes and be like, turn that off. And I wouldn't be allowed to watch it anymore. This is how like
she would be like, there are too many farting skunks in that opening scene.
Yes.
And no joke, in the opening credits, there's got to be about 15 farting skunks.
So like once we were watching, you remember the show The Angry Beavers on?
Yeah, I never watched it, but I know what you're talking about.
So it's actually a really good show, pretty funny. But it my brother and I were watching it once, and my mom was like, what are you guys watching? And Kevin went, Happy Beavers. Because she'd be like, I don't like a show that has an angry thing in it. We're turning that off.
Oh, see, I feel like my mom would have been more hip to that or more against the Happy Beavers. Oh, is that the Scrambled Channel?
She straight up knew. She knew what was up. This looks terrible, dude. I can't handle it. At least they're only 11 minutes long. Barf.
It did not feel 11 minutes long. That's weird, because every time I walk in, I feel like I've missed 12 hours of backstory, and I do not understand. I literally was telling Kent, I was like, Kent, where did the dinosaurs go? He's like, I don't know. And I was like, well, are those guys driving that robot? He was like, I don't know. I was like, Kent, I don't understand these rules. I don't like this show because I can't understand the mythos.
Transition. Here's a movie that I just watched that I fucking loved that had way too many rules in it. All right. But
hit me.
The movie was so good. Dude, so good.
Saltburn.
When Evil Lurks. I saw this on Shudder. This came out in 2023. Right now it is one of the best films of 2023, horror movie wise for me. It's out of Argentina. And it is, remember how good When Evil Dead Rise was, like how hardcore that was, how balls to the wall it was, how it wasn't afraid to fuck kids up. Hardcore. This movie goes there.
Mm.
Does not mess around. And it's these two brothers that live out on a farm in Argentina. And they hear gunshots at night and they count them and they're like, it's a pistol. We probably shouldn't go out there. Let's go tomorrow morning. So they hike out there with their dogs out into the fields and they find a man ripped in half. And the dogs are like chewing at the intestines and stuff. And they're like, well, that's not good. Well, we better go talk to our neighbor. I don't want to talk to our neighbor. He's an asshole. And what if he did it? Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, we better go talk to this other neighbor. They go to her and she's like, are you here to kill my son? And they're like, what? And she's like, oh, no. And they're like, hey, there's a body on the field. And she's like, he was coming to kill my son. Oh, no. Oh, man, this is terrible. And they're like, what's wrong with your son? And she's like, he's possessed. And they're like, what? And they go inside and this man is giant, bloated, full of pus. And it is disgusting. And he's like, kill me, kill me. But he's like, a little too excited about it. And you're like, uh-oh. And they're like, oh, no, a rotten. Everybody in this world knows what a rotten is. And there's rules around the rotten. You can't shoot it with a gun. No electric lights. You got to take your clothes off afterwards. It spreads through animals. There's so many rules that everybody's just like, oh, yeah, duh. And I'm like, you haven't told me the rules. But I'm still on board because you're grossing me out. I'm loving it. So they go to the neighbor that they didn't like.
Did you say it's Argentinian?
Yes.
The movie itself.
Yes. In a different language. Yeah. And they go to the neighbor they didn't like, and he's like, well, we got to fucking kill this thing. I'm like, oh, whoa, whoa, let's go to the cops first. And the cops are like, not our business. You deal with the rotten. Oh, by the way, don't shoot him with a gun. And, you know the rules. And they're like, yeah, I know the rules. So they go back and they're like, we're just going to get this guy out of here. So that the two brothers and the neighbor drag this guy out in a sheet, and it's just dripping pus, and he keeps falling out of it and just spilling, and his pus bubbles are popping. So gross. They pop him in the trunk and they drive down. They try to drive him out and dump the body somewhere, but the body falls out of the truck at some point, and they lose it, and they're like, fuck it, it's far enough away. And they go back.
But is it? It's played for horror. It's not played for laughs.
Straight horror. It is okay. Gnarly and nasty, dude. None of this is for jokes. So they go back home, and the neighbor, he's talking to his wife, and he's like, well, that's done. And she's pregnant. And she's like, I hope so, but you know how bad rotters can be. And he's like, yeah, I know. And she starts screaming. She goes outside and she starts screaming. She's like, look, look, look. And he comes out, and in the herd of goats, there's one goat. And he's just like, what you want? He's the goat's like staring him down. And the guy's like, oh no. And he goes and get his gun, and he puts the gun to the forehead of the goat, and the goat pushes his head to the gun. You're like, damn. And she's like, you know, you can't use guns. You know, you can't use gunpowder on it. You know, you can't use gunpowder on it when it's loose. And he's like, I got it. I just have to. I have to. I have to get rid of it. He puts his finger to the trigger, and the goat's staring at him. He's staring down the goat, and all of a sudden, an axe goes whoops, right into the dude's face, and he falls down. And his pregnant wife is standing there screaming, and she hits him like three more times. And it's one of the best axe kills I've ever seen, because movies today, like, axe to the face is like butter. You have one of the hardest bones in your body up here.
Sure, yeah,
it
yeah.
It would glance off, cleave part of your forehead off, and then you'd have to hit it like three times before your skull's cracked open. She hits him like three or more times, and she's screaming there, lying on the ground, and then she flips the axe around. Whoop, bam! Axe to the pregnant lady's face. That's how they kick this movie off. That's two people dead. Another
That's
guy
the
dead.
Beginning of the movie?
That's the beginning of the movie.
Oh, I was just about to say, when does the axe to the face happen?
It's a little slow, because there's a lot of them like, well, should we tell the neighbor? Should we not tell the neighbor? But once that happens, then the two brothers are
but
like,
that's not like the climax or the middle of the movie, or that's before that's, the middle?
That's like the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie.
Fuck.
So then the brothers are like, I don't think we got rid of it. Yeah, and they're like, and one of the brothers is like, we gotta go get my family. And he's like, you know, you're not allowed near your ex-wife. And he's like, I don't care. If a rotter's out and it's free and it's spreading, we have to go get him. Again, what are these rules? What the fuck's going on? So they rush into town, and he runs to his ex-wife's house, and the new husband's like, dude, you can't be here. And he's like, I gotta take my clothes off. And he's like naked in their house, and his son's like, daddy. And the wife's like, you get the fuck out, I'm calling the cops. He's like, yeah, call the cops, call the cops. And then all of a sudden, around the corner comes this giant mastiff, and the little boy and his stepsister, a little girl who's like four, are playing with the mastiff, and the adults are arguing, and you're like, I know what animals do in this movie. Oh, no.
I understand some of the rules.
Yeah. So while they're fighting, they're arguing, we got to go pack everything up. Everybody can come. We're getting in the car. We're leaving. And she's like, you're full of shit. You're just trying to control us. This is why I left you. This is why we have a restraining order. And the shot out of focus, mastiff, four-year-old girl, people arguing, bam, grabs her, pulls her off screen. So fucking brutal, man. The parents just hear screaming, and they turn, and the little boy's just pointing, and the stepfather comes around the corner, and you get a shot of a mastiff just ragdolling a little girl, just ragdolling her entire body, blood spraying everywhere. And the mastiff drags a child's corpse out the front door, and everybody chases after her. Don't worry, you see her again. She's actually pretty much okay. But a demon. This movie goes so hard. So now the father, his brother, his mentally challenged son, like super autistic, nonverbal, just like he just whines a lot. I'm not going to mimic it for fear of sounding terrible. But he whines. He just makes a lot of noise, right? Their mother, who's like, of course, I know the rules. Yeah. And the little son. And she's like, they go to a woman who knows about this stuff, and she's an ex-demon hunter, and she has a machine that can solve this, can maybe stop the demon if they find the original body. So they have to go find it. But like, people keep coming for him, and like, bodies keep piling up, and like, oh man, at one point he comes back to the handicapped son, and he's like, where's your grandma? Where's your grandma? Is she around? Is she in the bathroom? Where's your grandma? And he just goes, and like barfs up a little bit of her hair. And he had just like,
damn,
just eaten her. The movie is so bleak, so dark, and the kills are so crazy. And it has just like, I don't know. It's just one of those movies. My biggest complaint is I think the end is kind of like The Beyond, where you're just like, oh, that's not really an ending.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it is, because they're basically like, yeah, you're all fucked. And you're like, oh, that's sad. So the end is very abrupt and very, you know, it's like a soda can just fizzling out, and then little pink energy orbs pop out. Yeah, it was so abrupt and so bleak and terrifying, but at the same time left me just going, fuck, holy shit, what a good movie. So yeah, When Evil Lurks is, oh.
It's on Shudder, you said?
On Shudder. That is balls to the wall.
Yeah, I've heard a couple things about it. I heard that the rules were back and forth. I like the idea of a movie that does not explain shit to you. It does not tell you, hey, here's the rules, here's whatever. And you and I have also talked about how, like, possession, demon, zombie, werewolf, vampire, we like movies where in that world, they know what a werewolf is. Like, you see werewolf movies and there's a werewolf around and nobody says werewolf because... you have to pretend that there's no such thing as werewolf. You have to pretend there's no such thing as vampire. There's a zombie. You have to say, oh, there's these bodies are coming. Like, no one's like, hey, I think these are zombies. I think zombies are the thing that does it the most, right? But I like the idea of a movie that says, hey, we all know what's going on. We're not going to explain it to you. You just got to catch up. But I did hear that it's hard to figure out this. Some of these rules, and I actually,
but none of them matter. Like, here's the thing: none of the rules actually matter. All the rules make sense in the moment that they bring them up. Oh, you know, you're not supposed to be in electric light. It's like,
right?
Okay, well, that makes sense for the moment we're in the movie. But like, I think an American audience wants the rules laid out so you can see how they play out.
Right.
And here's my big question: in Argentina, is this actually a folklore thing, or did they just make this up for this movie? Like, is this like somebody who lives in a culture where there aren't zombies? They come to America and they're like, what's all this Walking Dead shit? You have to do what? What? Zombie? They come back to life?
Naked. You gotta take your clothes off.
Gotta take your clothes off. It spreads through animals.
You're fully clothed shooting it? Get the fuck out of here.
Right? So it's like, I would like to know more about, is there a culture... Is this a story of like a folklore entity, or is this something that was just made up for this movie?
I know it's been around. I know this movie pitch has been around for a while because I know Warner Brothers passed on it in the early 80s because they went with Gremlins because it was a very strict three rule structure. And they thought that audiences at the time would be, you know, very much more understanding of the premise of the rules because there are three rules that were set out in a very clear voiceover in the first scene.
So it says here that he came up with the idea for the movie when he heard about a bunch of people in the farm community getting sick from pesticides and that corporate apathy about the workers. And it was like out in the middle of nowhere. And they, you know, nobody cared because they were just farm workers who didn't live in the city. And it's like, huh. And so it was just like given the idea that like corporations are given free rein to spread this disease, even though people are like, guys, I'm getting sick. And then people in the cities are like, fuck you, farmer asshole. And it's like, oh. So not folklore, but man, this movie was good. And that's right. The only trivia on IMDb is the one that answered my question. Thanks.
I got a transition choose your own adventure for you. What was the Bandersnatch? I got a transition Bandersnatch for you.
Remember when we did our own Bandersnatch?
Yeah, that was a lot. I still think of that sometimes, and I'm like, I don't know if that episode was one of our more or less listened to ones, or if anyone thought we were clever, but I at least thought it was funny. Like, I thought it was a funny gimmick that we did that we did it. Like, I'm not going to say it worked, but I think the gimmick itself worked for what you and I were trying to do, which was crack each other up.
We did crack each other up. That is for sure.
If you guys haven't watched Netflix's Black Mirror Bandersnatch, that was their choose your own adventure movie where, like, at certain points in the movie, you picked what happened next. You made a choice for a character or a direction for the story to go, and it actually did influence the outcome to a certain degree. Sometimes a lot, sometimes a little.
Yeah.
Sometimes you would die, or the movie would be over, and it would bump you back to a point in the movie where you could kind of make a better choice and make the movie continue. It was really cool, and I heard that there was multiple endings, so like you might not have seen the exact same movie as I did, not just scenes, but the whole outcome could have been different, which I think is really cool.
Look up the Bandersnatch choice tree. It's huge.
It's a really fun idea. When Aaron and I saw that, we had an idea to do a review about it, but while we were doing it, we built in a choose your own adventure podcast idea where at certain points you would hear an announcer. You could essentially control Aaron's choices at certain points in the episode. So check that out. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, I'm not going to say it's like great or funny or it worked or anything, but we had a blast with it. And I think
you guys
idea...
made me do some dumb shit.
Yeah, it was good. But for tonight, you could go with, I'll end us up with either the horror movie that I just watched or the movie that I don't understand. Not really because of rules, but it was definitely a confusing situation. So you could pick which one you want.
And you're not going to tell me the title?
Do you want me to tell you the title of both?
Yes.
Boneyard from 1991 or I'm Thinking of Ending Things 2020.
Oh, shit. All right. Give me Boneyard. That sounds better.
All right. Boneyard was our shitty movie Sunday pick this past weekend. Oh, man. Not well paced at all. But definitely one of those movies, especially in the horror and effect genre, when shit kicks off, we all were like, I retract every shit I gave this movie during all the boring talking scenes. The Netflix description was something like a down and out psychic is trapped in a hospital with zombie kids and who are wreaking havoc, something else. And we were like, fuck
yeah.
Is this
the one with the poodle on the cover?
Yes. And I was going to say the thumbnail is either animatronic or mask of a giant demonized poodle. And we were like, fuck yeah, that. And from 1991, that sounds great. It starts off with these cops and they're knocking on a house and the person doesn't answer. And they open the door and they're calling this person's name. And you have no context of what this is about. They walk through a really well-dressed set and it's just a shithole. There's clothes everywhere. It's almost like Hoarder Central. And they're looking around. There's a younger cop, you know, you assume is going to, or detective is going to rookie, and an older, more grizzled looking guy. And he's got his little bucket hat on and they're looking around, calling for names. They're finding these, you know, ominous paper clippings, newspaper clippings and stuff. This one guy goes upstairs, the young guy, he's upstairs and they're calling out, they're looking around and it really is building a nice creepy vibe. And the whole time I'm like, wow, you're spending a lot of time showing us this creepy ass house. And it doesn't look creepy horror. It just looks creepy. Like you'd be icky in there. You wouldn't want to touch anything because there's fucking laundry everywhere. I mean, everywhere. This dude goes
up on a TLC special.
This dude goes up into a bedroom and it's like a very small bedroom and a mattress on the floor. And I'm telling you, everything is covered with clothes. And there's a shot of him touching things up on a shelf. And as you're seeing the shot, you are essentially against one of the walls all the way down. And there's a mountain of laundry in the extreme foreground. And you're seeing him over that. And he's touching the shelf and the shelf is supported by two somethings. One of those somethings gives and the shelf wipes down and everything falls off the shelf. When that happens, what you assume to be a giant fucking laundry monster jumps up in the foreground and you're like, oh, shit. And it starts pillow fighting this guy to death, beating the shit out of him with a pillow, almost like Bugs Bunny style. And there's feathers flying everywhere, but you're so surprised and they're not showing the laundry monster. It's a humanoid form, but it's covered in clothes. Beats this guy's ass down the stairs And out from under all the laundry is this very large, weirdly shaped woman who is essentially our protagonist. And they were coming to her to try to get her her input on this case that they're working on. And that's how they introduce her. And you're like, okay.
She was living under the laundry?
She was just a fucking dirtball. I guess they were trying to show that she's like down and out. But like, she was literally sleeping with mounds of laundry on top of her. And she didn't wake up until these guys knocked her shit over in that same room. So they tell her that they have this case and these dead kids and everything. And she's like, I don't want anything to do with it. Then she's looking through a baby book and touches a bib. And then she has what's revealed in a second to be a dream where she goes out onto the porch and she hears this noise and she looks over and there's this little kid playing, a girl. And we see over the girl's shoulder, she's holding a doll. The woman goes over and touches the girl's shoulder and turns around. Great makeup slash bodysuit of this little zombified kid.
These
creepy
zombies
as fuck.
Awesome. These
and they,
these kids
crawls
zombies.
After her and
they do
the
your
woman,
favorite their favorite little skittery crawl.
No, for real, because this is 91, baby, so that shit wasn't even invented yet. But it was like, not in American cinema, at least. She literally is crawling on the floor, scrambling after her. The woman backs up to the porch and the girl gets up, the monster girl, the zombie, and just tenderly hugs her. And this woman is like skeeved out, but trying so hard to not freak out. And then she wakes up in the chair and you're like, damn. Then there's a lot of blah, 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 blah. But the creature shit that happens is a lot. The kills and the it has some of the best zombies eating bodies I've ever seen. The little zombie kids look more like monsters or mutants than kids, but they are gross and weird. Like, it's discomforting. You don't want to look at them. The movie is really cool. It makes no, the plot makes no real sense. It's, I mean, again, it's a shitty movie Sunday, so we're talking through it and joking and reacting. So we probably miss nuances of the plot and stuff, but it was a lot of fun. There is a, I mean, spoiler alert, you have these three zombie children. They kill some people. They cause some damage, some, you know, injuries and blood and gore. Phyllis Diller is in it. She ends up turning into a giant monster that's almost like if you've ever seen that Sideshow movie that Steve Johnson did the effects for that I now can't think of. Alex Winter is in it, I believe.
Yeah. Freaked.
Freaked. There you go. Yeah. It's almost like that. But a scarier version.
The big googly eyes.
It's a big animatronic face. Yeah, big googly eyes. The shoulder blades are so distended and popped out the back. They look like they're almost like wings. She's this giant creature at the end. Then you have this, they like, vanquish her, and then you think that's the end. But then you have this giant, almost like a werewolf oodle comes in. And it's fucking awesome. And it's one of those scenes you just keep going, and you're like, you can't believe that this shit's happening. But then when that shit's not happening, oh, like I almost fell asleep. It was that boring, you know?
That's rough. Worth watching for the stuff that's good?
Fuck yes. And like, you guys have the benefit, Aaron, you and everyone listening, of me telling you, sit through it. It's worth it for sure. Theoretically, you could put it halfway, you know, halfway through the movie and you'd be okay. But it's worth seeing it just because this woman is so weirdly shaped. And also the way that they, like, there's certain things, decisions that they made that you're like, why would you put that? Like, I understand you want me to have sympathy for this character. Why would you go about it that way? I understand you wanted me to be suspenseful, or you wanted this to be suspenseful. You wanted me to feel tension here. That's how you decided to shoot that. But then there's these other things where it's like, I think the director or the writer, I think it's the director, was a special effects guy. So it clearly was like, okay, let's focus. And it's one of those, you want to watch a popcorn movie with some friends that's got some bitchin' monsters in it? Cool. This is a good, you know what this would be, Rumi? A real good Friday night sleepover in junior high movie.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm on board.
I don't think there's any nudity in it. I'm trying to remember. I don't think there was any nudity. That's the only thing else that would cinch that as a, okay, we're going to bed, you guys. You can watch this blockbuster movie till 11 o'clock, but then you got to go to bed. You know?
I mean, I love that era. We always watched Aliens. Since you brought up Alex Winter, I was going to talk about other movies, but now I'm going to talk about this movie instead. Destroy All Neighbors.
I've heard of it, and I know the guy who wrote it, but I don't know. It looks awesome. I've seen some of the, I think it's Gabe Bartalos effects. I'm pretty sure it's Gabe Bartalos who did the original, at least the original Leprechaun.
That tracks. He looks like a leprechaun for sure.
He does look like the leprechaun.
So Alex Winter's in it. It's a struggling prog rock musician, finds himself like in a living nightmare when he keeps killing all his neighbors on accident. Or on purpose, who knows?
Have you seen this?
Yeah, I watched it the other night. It is way more comedy than it is horror, but it's pretty gory and a lot of intestines and a lot of like weird mutilations and violence, but it's all played for laughs, like like real goofy. So if you're down for that, it's really fun.
Same vein as Dead Alive?
Way goofier.
Really?
Yeah. I think Dead Alive did more with the gore, but this definitely had a lot of gore in it. He's trying to get rid of a body, so he's cutting it up with a saw, and he keeps killing neighbors, and one of them catches on fire, and she turns into this like really goofy like skeleton puppet that's kind of fun, and they help him make a prog rock album.
Like you said to me, worth it? Worth the watch?
Absolutely. Yeah. But don't go, like, anybody who goes in expecting like a good horror movie that's gory, no. If you are expecting a really fun, goofy satire, good, not even satire, just straight goofy. If you're looking for a fun, goofy, good time that happens to have a lot of gore in it, this is great.
Okay.
Don't go for the gore. Go for, I want to watch a funny movie that has intestines that play the drums.
Got it. Do they play the drums well?
I mean, how do you like prog rock?
Boom, boom, chaka, boom, boom, chaka. I have no idea what prog rock is. I'm guessing it's rock from Prague.
Prog rock is like, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. How do you feel about the band Rush?
Or King, but it Park? Wasn't a Prague. It was a prog rock. I like Rush enough. I don't know that I like care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, like Rush is considered prog rock, but like probably a little more rock side of prog rock, but like King Crimson. I don't know. Prog rock has, it's very complicated music, and some people really like it. I like prog rock, but I'm not like, prog rock, yeah. This movie has a lot of like prog rock inside prog rock jokes that even I was kind of like, all right.
Okay.
I get the joke. I didn't even laugh at it, though. Super fun. It's worth checking out. And especially Alex Winter as like an unrecognizable character is you know, he's great. I love Alex Winter.
It's one of those things that, like, I think it was an Emerson dude that wrote it, but it's definitely a dude who's come to me a couple times in the past and had me do a breakdown for his effects and stuff. And in the past, he could never afford the stuff that he was trying to do, at least how I was doing it. But I see him on social media and stuff, and then he, you know, all this, destroy all neighbors, destroy all, oh, I wrote this, I did this, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. But then I started to see it in places that were not his social media, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm seeing on other people's social media talking about it. I'm seeing it on, oh, you like this, you may also like this. And I was like, oh, cool, I'm glad, you know, good. Everyone, good. All the more, if you're making cool stuff, especially if it's shit that I would like, great, keep making it, you know?
What's his name? Who's the person that went to Emerson? Charles A.
Yeah,
Piper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here he is.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Good for him. Well, that's fun. You know, time to wrap it up, though. Guys, what have you been watching? Have you seen any of these movies? What did you think? I just started watching. I watched two episodes of a TV show on Max called Scavenger Rain, and it is real good sci-fi. I was very impressed. Yeah? Real good sci-fi. Like, really cool, like, survival on a super alien planet. It's really cool. I liked it a lot. But what are you guys been watching? Check out any of these movies? Let us know. Hit us up, social media, Facebook, Instagram, and X at Launchpad Pod. On our website, launchpadpod.com. Check me out on Saturdays, half hour or 10:30. Pacific, 1:30 Eastern. We're going to talk about some horror stuff. You know, they say it's a half hour, but we like to give you a little longer. Last week, we had a paranormal investigator on. We talked about some haunted stories, and some of you came on and told your haunted stories. So thank you. Let's do that again this weekend. I don't know what we're talking about yet. Got time to figure it out, though. So yeah, it'll be great. And where else? What else we got going on? Anything else for pimping, Rumi?
So Amanda goes to me the other day. She must have been looking at your or our social media. She goes, do you know Aaron is on another podcast? And I was like, yeah, I know. She goes, that's okay? I was like, yeah, what do I? The more the better. I don't care. I just thought it was so funny. She like wanted to ask me but was worried that I'd be upset. You know what I mean? Like she was throwing like the 8x10 glossies of you holding another man's microphone.
That's hilarious. I mean, it's just an opportunity to work, to keep creating stuff, man. You know, it's fun. And I pimp the Launchpad podcast every episode. Don't worry. Don't worry, baby. I got you. You're my bottom bitch, man. I hold you down. You're my OG.
I I'm comfortable enough in my relationship with you that like, yeah, you can podcast with whoever you want. I'm not worried about it. I think the Launchpad is the Launchpad, and I'm not worried that someone's going to steal you or anything. There's so few times where she's like, hey, this important part of your life, let me weigh in on it in a caring manner. But I think that was her way of being like, hey, are you okay? Hey, man, is everything okay with you and Rumi?
Well, you would also be part of this if you weren't teaching little kids karate.
I know. Yeah. Although the good news is, actually, I could tell you. The good news is I don't work every weekend anymore. Starting soon, I'm doing every other weekend. So if you don't need a every weekend commitment, I could come sometimes.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I don't wear pants on weekends. So if I'm home, so
good thing it's audio only. It's also on
not anymore.
it's also on X. So I have to teach you how to use the Twitter beast.
Do I have to learn how to use the rest of the alphabet first? I can't wait till you're watching TV and Kate says from the other room, hey, honey, did you know that Matt was on another podcast and he's not wearing pants?
Oh, Lunch Dad podcast. One quick story, because it's fucking hysterical. We were building with blocks with Sammy, and we were like, hey, it's time to clean up the magnet tiles and you need to help. And she stepped out of the room. She turned around, looked at me and Kate, went, you're both big girls. You can clean it up, and walked away. And we were like, whoa, get back in here.
How old is she?
3.
That's awesome.
I was like, because that's exactly what we'd say to her. And she'd be like, right, I can't do it, but you're a big girl. You can clean it up. But the way she looked, like surveyed the damage, it was like, you're both big girls. You can pick it up.
Do you think she was being serious, or you think she was trying to get away with it?
She was like, trying to get away with it.
Yeah, she took 2 more steps out. And you called her back in. She was like, damn.
I thought that was going to work.
That's a good shot, though.
She seriously thought that they'd be like, no, you're big kids. You got this. You don't need my help cleaning this up. It's like, this is your mess.
Love it. Kent has been in a, you got to tell a story. I got to tell a story. Kent has been in a big rush. Everyone else tuning to a different podcast. Where's that one with a pantsless ginger? What did you say? Dino Forest masturbatory cups. What were you?
I'm going to turn on that Saltburn movie they won't stop talking about.
Aqua Teen Dino Force. What were you watching? Kent has been in a rush to get out of the bathroom lately. So he'll be like, he'll come home from somewhere. You're like, go to the bathroom. He's like, I don't have to go. And you're like, try. It's been a couple hours. We just got back from go. He'll go. He'll stand there and be like, see? Nothing. You're like, you stood there for a quarter of a second. Try. So the other day I was like, you need to go. You're not allowed to go play until you go. He goes, I'll try. And I said, hey, do or do not. There is no try. And then I said, remember Yoda said that to Luke? And now this kid knows Star Wars almost as good as me. I was like, Yoda said that to Luke. And when he said that, what he was saying was, don't try to do something. Don't attempt. You either do it and you do your best, or you don't do it at all. He goes, I pick do not.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And I think he was serious. And then when I laughed, now he knows. So now anytime someone says the word try, he will say, do or do not. There is no try. And if you tell him that he has to go to the bathroom, he will say, I pick do not. Ken, I need you to go. Ken, go to the bathroom, man. I pick do not.
That's great. Oh, that's so good. Oh, I love it. Only one thing left to do, Rumi. Blast this thing off.
Oh, two things. I got to go buy a fucking TV now.
Yeah. Costco. He's coming. He's coming. Hold on. Roll out the red carpet. He's coming.
You got to walk by the TVs to get to the coffins, right? Yes. I mean, while I'm there,
pick up a hot dog.
Pick up a 12-pack of coffins. You're all over those hot dogs.
They're $1.50 and they've been that way since they opened.
I feel like they should let you lay in the cot. Like they should give free samples of not just food. Like you should be allowed to just try on a pair of pants to lay in a coffin to watch an episode of, you know, more Rick and Morty or something. Rumi's trying to do all of the things that I just said at the same time. He's pantomiming trying to get all of those free samples in the same 20 seconds.
And like, while I'm lying in a coffin.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's the same. You're riding in a coffin watching TV, and for sure you were eating that hot dog. At least that's what I think you were pantomiming.
That's the other free sample they had.
That was in the alley behind Costco.
How do you think I got somebody to pack it all in my car for me? I wasn't gonna do that on my own. Murder on the dance floor. Woo! 2024, man. December 31st. We're still going to be telling Saltburn jokes. Year of the Dragon.
January 31st.
No, I'm saying go all the way.
Oh, 2024. Yeah.
I'm saying fast forward. I'm still going to be murder on the dance floor telling Saltburn jokes. People are like, that movie's like a year and a half old. What's wrong with you?
You did say that you watched another movie with naked guy running through an apartment. You love these naked guy running movies.
Yeah. This one was, we're done. We're the Rocketeers and we're out. I'll save that one for the next episode. What a tease.
There's one listener that's like, oh, I wanted to hear what he had to say. Let's go.